Today we continue our studies in Ephesians. We were in the part in chapter 5 that deals with the power of the Holy Spirit. And you remember we discussed that last time, that the Holy Spirit wants to fill us. As we're filled with the Spirit of God, then we will know what it is to manifest these different indications of the filling of the Spirit, which are joy. He speaks of not being drunk with wine, be filled with the Spirit. There's the joy of singing. There's the thankful spirit. And there's the submissiveness of one to another. And these are signs then of the filling of the Holy Spirit. Now today we're getting into the roles in the family, because beginning with chapter 5, verse 22, and running through 6:4, the Apostle Paul deals with the family, an area that certainly needs teaching on today. Let's begin reading with verse 22. Wives, be subject to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ also is the head of the church, he himself being the Savior of the body. But as the church is subject to Christ, so also the wives ought to be to their husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, that he might present to himself the church in all her glory, having no spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and blameless. So husbands ought also to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his own wife loves himself, for no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ also does the church, because we are members of his body. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall cleave to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This mystery is great, but I am speaking with reference to Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let each individual among you also love his own wife even as himself, and let the wife see to it that she respects her husband. The roles in the family. We live in a day when there are tremendous changes taking place in the family. We're living in a day, for example, when more women are working, married women are working in the United States than ever before. And this is true in much of Western Europe, I suppose, and in Canada as well. It's a time when no longer is marriage stable as it once was, when it seems that marriages break up so easily, and there's divorce and remarriage and divorce and remarriage, and there's a tremendous lack of stability in the family. In fact, it's a time when many are even questioning whether the marriage relationship is a necessary part of society. It may be an option, but it isn't vital in the thinking of many. And so we have many young people, for example, and some that are older, men and women living together, cohabiting together, and yet without being legally married, and defending it, and speaking very openly of the fact of their relationship. Now, the scripture here deals with the matter of marriage and the roles in marriage. And we want to look at those today very briefly. He talks of the roles of the husband and wife. And I want to start with the husband, even though as we were reading, he deals with the wife first. What is the role of the husband? The scripture says, and it would indicate from these verses here, that his role is that of being the leader, the initiator, the one who gives direction in the home. His role is also that of being provider. The scripture says if a man doesn't provide for his own household, he's worse than an unbeliever. And so the provision for the family is viewed as coming primarily through the man of the household. He is the leader and the provider. He's to be marked by love, and this is what is emphasized here. Of course, physically, the man is larger usually and stronger, and in a dominant role. So this must be guarded by love. And this is what he emphasizes here very strongly. This is his word of caution, his word of warning, his word of encouragement to the man in the family. He says, husbands, love your wife. Just because you're to be the leader, just because you may be larger physically than she is, do not abuse your role. Do not take advantage of her. Love your wife. And as we think of the word used here for love, it certainly has the thought of it, of commitment in connection with it. When we think of the husband and his relationship to his wife, he's to be deeply committed to her. There's to be no other woman in his life. She is to be the only one. And when he took his marriage vows, he promised to love her, to care for her, to be loyal to her until death parts them. And this commitment is something that the man has to constantly renew. It's very easy in the world in which we live to be attracted to someone of the opposite sex. And for your own commitment and loyalty to your wife to waver. And so here the reminder to husbands, love your wives, be committed to them, be devoted, care for them. In fact, he says to care for them as you care for your own body. Husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. And we think here of the care that we give to our bodies, the tremendous concern we have. If you get sick, you know how you care for that body, how you just lavish attention upon it. You go to the doctor, you take medicine, you do everything possible. You get rest because you want your body to be healthy. You give it very complete attention. And he says here that husbands should love their wives with that same intensity of concern that they have for their own health, for their own bodies. This is the kind of love, he says, that husbands should have for their wives. He says that there should be an attitude of sacrifice. The husband should care so much for his wife that he is willing to sacrifice. And the pattern now that's held up for the husband with regard to his wife is the pattern of Christ and his love for the church. How much did Christ love us? How much did Christ care for us? What was the extent of his love for us? He loved me and gave himself for me, Paul says. God so loved the world that he gave, and Christ came and he gave. And what was the extent? What was the measure of his love? He went to the cross. He went through all the agony, the suffering, the excruciating pain of the cross, and he died for us. He gave himself. He sacrificed himself for us. Such love that is so unselfish, so giving, so unthinking of himself and of his own needs, just completely focusing on the needs of others. This was the love of the Lord Jesus. And he says to those of us who are husbands, that is to be the measure of your love. Your love is to be like that. Your love is to have that degree of sacrifice involved in it. My, as husbands, you know, when we read that, it's, my, it makes you feel very humble, doesn't it? You feel how far you fall short. How many times in our marriage relationships we act in selfish, petty ways. How seldom do we really put our wives first? Do we really give of ourselves to them? Do we really think of their interests above our own? And yet that was the love of the Lord Jesus. And this was the pattern that he gave. A love that died for us. A love that was so great he went to the cross and he paid for our sins by giving his own life. A love that continues to be concerned for us, because you remember it says that he ever lives to make intercession for us. Christ is now in heaven. He's concerned for us. He's praying for us. He's our great high priest. He's interceding for us. His interest, his primary interest, is our well-being, our progress, our growth, our development. This is what Christ is concerned for. He's still acting in utter unselfishness as he is concerned for us, as he's praying for us, as he's reaching out to us. This is the kind of love that he has. One day that love is going to be gratified by seeing the church. It says here he's going to present to himself the church in all her glory, having no spot or wrinkle or any such thing. The time is coming when he's going to come back and when he's going to take all that have come to trust him and love him to be with himself, when he's going to complete this work of unselfish devotion to his people. And when the scripture speaks of this bridal feast of the Lamb, and the time when the church made up of all true believers is going to be linked, united with the Lord forever. Now that's the kind of love Christ has. That's the way he has expended himself for us. He's poured himself out for us. And husbands, Paul says, you have that kind of love. You give of yourself for your wives. You have a sacrificial interest and concern for them. And you put their welfare above your own. And when you do that, then you will begin to function the way Christ functions in loving his